I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Man, that's all that really matters. So we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's a Target Demo Friday, everybody. And so coming up in about 40 minutes, we're going to read through your Target Demos, which is you letting us know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you got cooking for Father's Day weekend. It's our target demographic. Who is our target demographic? We're always trying to find that out. We love hearing from the D-Aliens every single Friday. That's coming up. So send them to me on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDAShow. And also on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our next guest is a co-host of a soccer podcast I have been addicted to in the weeks leading up until the World Cup. They do a tremendous job, and he has joined us for soccer conversation before. I felt like coming into the World Cup, since Team USA is out of it, I felt like there was going to be a way I could educate everybody into why you should still be watching, even though we have no rooting interest as Americans necessarily. And so our next guest is going to give us the American sports equivalents to the countries competing in Russia for the World Cup. It's the Caught Offside podcast. He's JJ Devaney, and he joins us here in studio. JJ, how you doing, my man?
DA, it's a pleasure to be back on with you. How are you doing, man? Happy World Cup.
Happy World Cup to you as well.
Yeah.
Even though the Americans aren't in it, and you and your co-host Andrew Gunling have gone through many a podcast explaining how you guys are feeling and kind of getting to the root of the issue, I still am juiced up. I'm still jazzed up about this. And I think New York City is a great place because there's so many soccer bars and so many cultures and diversity that I'm still fired up, and you can't wipe the smile off my face this month.
Yeah, and you try to go to Queens and tell someone the World Cup doesn't matter. Well, the Colombians aren't going to buy it. They're just not having it.
Right.
This city.
Go to Texas and tell Mexicans that there's no World Cup going on.
Yeah, the World Cup is America in many ways because we've all got a rooting interest in our, well, Amendola Lara, I'm thinking you're Italian, right?
That's right. So,
and I'm Irish, so
we're out of it.
Don't really. But that's not the point. You can always get behind a team. Do you know what? Do that thing where you spit in the cup, you send it away, and they tell you what part of the world you're from.
You do that.
And then come back, and whatever's the highest percentage, go for that.
23andMe, this thing.
Right, exactly.
And we'll see who we're going to root for. So there's so many cool storylines in this bad boy, and I'm going to have you listen back to our interview, just a clip of it from Bruce Arena coming up here, because I wanted to get your thoughts. We had Bruce on yesterday discussing what happened here, but let's focus on the teams that are here, okay? And you were the perfect guy to ask about this because you also are a huge American sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what goes on in
steady,
football and
steady.
Basketball.
You're giving me a big build-up here now. Well, I have a vague idea.
I think you got
what
a pretty
we're
good
about
idea.
To do doesn't work, but it's fun.
No, I think it does work.
It doesn't.
I think it does work. I want to start with Germany, the defending champs, okay? They won 4 years ago. And in your mind, who do you think Germany represents in American sports?
Well, I'm going to go with Belichick's Patriots.
Okay.
Okay, and again, this is why it doesn't work, all right?
I think
so
it does.
The manager, Yogi Love, came in under the wing somewhat of Jurgen Klinsmann. Who does that remind you of?
Bill Belichick.
And Parcells.
And Bill
so
Parcells.
I've just compared Klinsmann and Parcells. You put the resumes up in management and coaching, it doesn't really work. But you know what? We're just going to go with it. They're winners. And you know what? They're kind of ruthless winners. So Germany win in 2014. They're coming into this tournament, and they've got probably one of the best the best young prospect in English football, Leroy Sané, playing out of Manchester City. And because he
Which
doesn't...
would have been Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. And because he doesn't fit the team ethic, he's gone. He's jettisoned. Is that not Belichickian? And instead of, you know, dwelling on it, he does the Belichick answer. We're on to Russia.
Right.
Keep asking. We're going to Cleveland. We're on to Russia. Same thing.
And Germany is known for kind of a lack of flair, right? Just do your job.
Right.
Put your head down. Don't question the coach.
Okay.
And block out all the distractions. And they're just a machine. They're known as the soccer machine. That's the perfect Patriots.
Exactly. And it's like thinking, would T.O. have fitted in New England?
Correct.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Ocho Cinco.
They might get a few years out of Randy Moss, but the moment that he goes sideways, they're getting him out of there.
They got enough, they got rid.
Exactly.
And Leroy Sané will be back in September for the Nations Cup or whatever the hell they're calling it, but it's just not going to be for this World Cup. Team ethic and culture matters.
That's exactly right. So Germany is the Belichick Patriots. You want to root for a winner? They're probably the favorite in this thing, at least one of the favorites.
I have them going to the final.
Okay. Brazil is always a really fun team to watch. They win a lot as well. And you've got them equated to the Showtime Lakers.
The word Showtime is key here. You say they're always fun to watch. The 7-1 against Germany.
Well, that wasn't that fun, yeah.
Yeah, but the rebuild since has been amazing. And the centerpiece of this team, you could say, is Neymar. The centerpiece of the Lakers was Magic Johnson. But you've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who I think might be a Gabriel Jesus-type figure. Because if Neymar's creating all these chances, Jesus is going to be scoring them. They're fun. They're fun again. In qualification, they were fantastic. Even in the warm-up game against Austria there, Neymar scores this ridiculous goal. Just beautiful Brazilian flair. Willian, Gabriel Jesus, Neymar, Paulinho, Casemiro.
It's a galaxy of stars.
But I believe in them. They were galaxy stars at the last tournament. Didn't believe in it. This I believe in. And I'm actually going to pick them to win it all.
Okay.
Unless somehow the Boston Celtics come back and stop them. I don't know. So Kevin McHale comes out of nowhere. I don't know. See, this isn't working. We're confusing half of America.
It is working. I love this. JJ Devaney joins us here to break down the World Cup. So there's Argentina. And
yeah.
This is the team I'm really pulling for in this one. If I've got a rooting interest, it's Argentina. Because I love... Just like we saw Alexander Ovechkin redeemed, validated after a Hall of Fame career, but he needs that final cherry on top. He needed the Stanley Cup to validate everything. Messi needs the World Cup. And I would love to see Argentina hoist the World Cup so that Messi has this grand final championship.
Yeah, and in the minds of many people in the 1980s, Dan Marino was that guy who was a fantastic quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback. Never won a Super Bowl. And Messi, for some reason, for all he's done at Barcelona, is kind of in that area, in that zone, because Diego Maradona did it. And Messi hasn't done it yet. And not only that, it's almost like a Buffalo Bills run, because when you analyze it, it's not like he hasn't been to the dance. He was at the dance in 2014, lost to Germany. Okay, he'll come back.
In the final.
Copa America, which is a big deal, international trophy, 2015, loses that in the final. All right, okay. Copa America Centenario 2016 for the cash because we got it here in the United
That's
States.
Right.
And he loses that. So we're on a kind of a Buffalo Bills run here.
Yeah.
Now, everybody loves Messi, unless you're a Ronaldo fanboy. And you want to see him hoist that trophy above your head because you know in your heart he's the greatest you've probably ever seen. Will it happen this summer? I don't know if he has the cast of characters around him to do it.
I don't think he does either, but... Boy, would this be the perfect way to finally do it and shake off all those criticisms and skeletons in the closet? This would be the perfect year to do it.
I'm saying you put 6 or 7 Bud Lights into your system, sir. You're watching Messi lift that up. The tears
running. Yes, absolutely. I would love it. I think the Cinderella story of this World Cup is Iceland. It seems like everybody understands now. Iceland is this amazing small country. They've got the population of Peoria, Illinois as a country, and somehow they're in the World Cup. And they've built, I don't want to call it a soccer power, but it's a steady, solid kind of soccer foundation that they should win for a while with right now.
Absolutely. I mean, they finished in a top of their group. Look, Italy and the Netherlands aren't going. These established powers, and Iceland are. They're going to back-to-back tournaments. They clipped the wings of England in Euro 2016, caused a sensation. That's how we really came to know them. They're like Loyola. that we saw in March Madness. Yeah. Making this run, you don't expect them to do anything. I was looking for a Sister Jean element to this one. their head coach is a dentist. That's his stock and trade.
That's a good Sister Jean connection.
Right, okay. No, but what I'm working at is ordinary people, Damon. Work with me. There's a thread coming here, right? Okay. And he's just unique in what he does. And Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated did a lovely piece about Iceland. And in it, he mentioned how Heimir, the coach, goes to the bar before home games. A bar in Iceland, right? Locks the doors. Everyone's in there drunk. These are supporters. And he tells them, this is the team. This is the tactics. Yeah. This is how we're going to play. Like, the accountability that you would see if St. Bonaventure go on a run. I can see the Bonnies coach going right in before the game and telling the Bonnies nation,
the season ticket holders,
what we're going to do.
Yeah, here's our tactics. Here's who's starting.
And that's the link between them and their fans. And that's what makes them unique. Look, they don't play attractive soccer. They just don't. But they're a storyline. And you wonder, could they create a bit of an upset maybe on when they play Saturday?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
So I kind of think of them also as the Green Bay Packers, because there's no way an NFL team should exist in a city like Green Bay,
right?
But it still does.
That's actually good, because I crushed you last night when you suggested that to me via text. Because the winning's not
right
there.
There's no history of winning for Iceland.
Yeah, and you're looking for your Lombardi character.
But if Mike McCarthy or Mike Holmgren went into the season ticket holders meeting of Packers, even not season ticket holders, but Packers fans that have a share in the team, and he said, okay, this is who's starting at left tackle. Here's how we're going to play the Bears coming up here. Nobody say anything to the media. Swear to secrecy right now, and I'll tell you everything. People in Green Bay would do that.
That they've bought in.
They bought in.
Quite literally.
Exactly right.
Can you imagine that happening in Jerry World?
Forget it.
Could you imagine him going in? It'd be on video. It'd be everywhere. And first of all, people would out him as a communist for sharing everything. They'd be like, it's not going to work.
Could you imagine an English coach giving away any tactics? I'll be in the tabloids the next day. But it'd be on Twitter within seconds.
Yep. But there's a trust there. And it's a trust, like you said, from, I guess, a small group of people who probably can't believe they've got this team in their town.
Speaking of England, who do you think England is the equivalent of going into this World Cup? At least they're in this.
Right. Well, they should be. They romp through qualifying every time.
Yeah.
Look, there is no way around it. And I did a lot of kind of trying to do, you know, handstands with this one, gymnastics in my mind. They're the New York Jets. They've won once back in the 60s.
Forever ago.
Right? And you're never going to hear the end of it. Right. They have unreasonable optimism for, like, they've been a dumpster fire in tournaments. Sometimes they don't even, let's make the playoff example. Sometimes they don't make the playoffs. In the 70s, England went a whole stretch without getting into anything. So why do they have this sense of, this could be our year? They've both had golden generations. So we look at the Rex Ryan years. You could say the Sven Göran Eriksson years, where they had Lampard, Gerrard, Owen, Scholes, Beckham. And then you look at the Jets under Rex Ryan, and that was a golden generation, two AFC Championship games back to back. So every now and again, there's this hope that comes into their hearts to be ultimately crushed by Todd Bowles.
Not only that, this is such a good comparison too, but they should be so much better. I mean,
right,
because they're in New York. The Jets should have this kind of glitz of being in New York, big market, number one market. England is the home, the birthplace of soccer, the English Premier League. They should be the powerhouse.
See, this one works.
It works so well. And the fan base, while there is dashes of hope, is often undercut by pessimism, cynicism, and the harsh reality to where they get really negative.
And racemen in the media, or whoever it is, whoever's talking about, I don't know. Is that right? Best racemen, one of those guys.
So, yeah, the British fans, they just know they're in for getting their heart cut out yet again, just like Jets fans go into it every single time.
And the New York media is quite similar in its feral nature to the English media.
To tear them apart.
That's the point of it.
And to can't, it's sport, right? The British tabloids find trashing the English team sport, which is exactly the New York media and the Jets.
Look what they did to Raheem Sterling in the lead up to this. The guy gets a tattoo of a AR-16 or some assault weapon on his leg. It has specific meaning. Don't ask him what it means. Kill him first for doing it. Go after him. Say this is terrible in the culture we're in, the culture of violence. His father was gunned down. He hasn't finished the tattoo yet. It's a statement that he doesn't believe in guns and the only weapon he'll ever have is his right leg. I wouldn't do it, but I think if he wants to do it, fine, let him do it. But no, crush, destroy, suppress. The English media is like, we're going to hype you up to the very top.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring you back down.
Oh, yeah. And then we're going to sell papers doing it.
That's the way it works.
JJ Devaney joins us to break down the World Cup and give you the American sports equivalent to the countries competing. Also, when we come back, I want him to hear the back and forth, the contentious back and forth with Bruce Arena yesterday on this show and ask him his take on that. And we help you bet on the World Cup. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
It's a Target Demo Friday, so send us what you're doing as you listen to the show and how you're listening. Simply do that by tweeting at us, DA on CBS, or go to Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. My friend J.J. Devaney joins us. He's co-host of the Caught Offside podcast, soccer-centric. World Cup is here, first full day of action. J.J., you guys had Bruce Arena on the podcast, right?
We did.
Indeed.
Okay, so we had Bruce here on the show yesterday, and I thought that Bruce deflected responsibility for not qualifying. I want to play the audio for you and get your take on this.
Listen, everybody that thinks is an expert always has the answers the day after.
So yeah, Bruce,
that's easy. The day before, it's a little bit different. So I had a lot of confidence in the group that beat Panama and felt that they could get a result in Trinidad.
Do you feel like that criticism is fair, that you and the team have not taken full responsibility for it?
Of course we took full responsibility. Well, who else would?
Well, when you say there's no regrets and it's a stupid question to question the lineup, it sounds like it's like, how dare you question what we did or what I did?
No, I'm saying, yeah. I mean, what are we going to do about it now? It's over with.
Yeah, but you can honestly assess that question.
I did assess it. I think it's a stupid comment. That was my assessment, whether you like it or not. I'm allowed to have an opinion as well, and I probably know more about that than you do.
So there is Bruce Arena. That's kind of classic Bruce Arena.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Brooklyn answer. What do you want from me? And he's a Brooklyn guy.
And he used the same lineup for two matches in a row at the end of qualifying. And in the final match where we had to at least get a draw from Trinidad and Tobago, we came out with dead legs and nobody had any juice. And so you could look back and say, should they, in the middle of sultry Caribbean, flooded turf, should they have had the same lineup from 4 days earlier? I would say that's the obvious. It looks bad in retrospect. But Bruce isn't going to give you an inch on that. What'd you take away from when you talked to Bruce and what you heard right there?
Well, what he's doing there, I mean, you went after him a little bit and he's obviously still sensitive about this thing. And look, there has been a lot of deflection. The book is a deflection. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with me could have been the book. You know, like seriously. So I got into the weeds with him a little bit on the Trinidad and Tobago issue. And I asked him, with all the backroom staff we've got, with the physios and the guys who are involved in science, how did Paul Areola get on the field, admittedly fatigued, and was so gassed that he told The Ringer, he told ESPN, Jeff Carlisle, I was gassed and I had to come off. So where did the science break down? And I asked Bruce that, and he told me, look, we checked everything, we have all these guys, I'm sure they checked urine samples for dehydration, the whole thing. He said nothing flagged. There was only one injury concern, Christian Pulisic. And he scored the goal. So he deflected that one from me, and he feels as if that wasn't the issue. But what he did admit to was interesting. The game against Costa Rica, where everyone complains, Harrison, New Jersey wasn't the place to play it. Too many of Costa Rican fans there. It was 50-50. Damon, we lost that 2-0. That was the first game back after the Gold Cup that we won. Now, that Gold Cup meant nothing. And Bruce put too much emphasis on that Gold Cup. He felt the team was in a good place. I mean, we beat Costa Rica's B team. Costa Rica didn't send their first team to that Gold Cup. So he should have been ready for Harrison, New Jersey. He goes in, he picks a team. He said he got the team wrong. He was sorry about the team he picked. We lose 2-0. We win that game, me and you aren't having that conversation. This goes back way before that night in Trinidad and Tobago.
Right.
I also asked him, how can you only win one game on the road? One game on the road against, in the entire hex, in the entire qualification program. Which, let's be honest, the early stages, it's a who's who of honeymoon destinations. St. Vincent and the Grenadine Islands were the only team we beat. I thought that was a drink. when someone told me. And I don't want to, you know what, I'm being glib and I'm being a bit of a wise ass about it. But the facts are that, you know, the Gold Cup, who did we beat? Well, in the early stages, we beat Nicaragua. Martinique. I thought that was the 1980s singer. You know, I hurt in his voice because I asked him, how's it been? You know, the last few months. I mean, how's it when he walks his dog? People know who he is.
Yeah, and he's getting this flack from everywhere, and you can tell he's sensitive about it, which is actually kind of a cool thing about soccer in America. It now is important enough to where if we don't qualify, you get demolished with criticism, and it's totally unacceptable.
Look, you come out of this great because you really went after him there. We went after him, but at the same time, our listeners were like, we wanted blood. We wanted a head.
People want blood.
They do. They want to see someone nailed to the cross on these issues. And he's 67. He's a storied career. He's a veteran. Look what he did in 2002. He was a whisker away from a semifinal.
He's the most accomplished soccer coach we have in America.
And this makes it doubly sad. So I feel for him. I do think he was deflecting a bit with you there. And when he went into the weeds with me a bit, he still deflected. So I don't know. Look, there's blame to go around, and there's a guy sitting in Los Angeles who I'm sure he's doing work for the World Cup, but Jürgen Klinsmann shares in it. Sunil Gulati shares in it.
Yep. JJ Devaney joins us here to break down the World Cup. Speaking of which, we had American sports equivalents to the teams. I wanted to just give an American sports equivalent to Team USA missing this.
Oh, wow.
This, to me, was the Falcons in the Super Bowl. That we had all the talent, we had plenty of time, and granted, we coughed it up with the early Jürgen Klinsmann qualification efforts, but they were still up 28-3 in the Super Bowl, and everything had to go wrong. You also had to have some bad luck. The other teams had to get everything that goes their way, and when you look back, go, how the hell did that happen? I feel like the U.S. not making this World Cup is like the Falcons going, how did we blow that lead?
Falcons fans going, there's still time. We're still good. We're still good.
Right.
There's still time. We're fine. We're fine.
Exactly.
As Brady goes down the field, down the field.
Exactly.
And you know what? That Super Bowl is CONCACAF qualifying because how many second chances do you need?
Like, right.
The door was wide open. All you had to do was walk through it and you're tripping, you're stumbling, you're falling.
And
that's a good analogy.
Just needed the draw against Trinidad and Tobago, or two other results had to go against you. Not only is there an own goal against TNT, but I mean, there's a goal that's allowed that shouldn't have been allowed in another match that affected us. So it was like everything that could go wrong had to go wrong and did.
The ghost goal.
And finally, we've got Mexico in the World Cup, and they're fired up. And we obviously have a huge Mexican-American population. It's interesting because the U.S. has the second most tickets sold for the World Cup outside of Russia. And so many of those are Mexican-Americans going out there to celebrate Team Mexico.
Never seen a population as obsessed by their sport.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable. And they're on Twitter. They're just everywhere. I was thinking about it last night. If we announced that the Mexican national team are doing a training session in your backyard tonight, and we sold tickets, the place would be full.
Full.
They turn up everywhere. They're incredible fans. They're like Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame. They will go everywhere.
I'm comparing them to the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Because their fan base is delirious, sometimes oversells what they think they could accomplish all the time. Cowboys fans always think they're going to win the Super Bowl every single year, and they will show up in every city. They play in Indianapolis, it's going to be half Cowboys fans. Play in Miami, half Cowboys fans. You look around, you're like, I didn't know there was any Cowboys fans in this neighborhood. They bought every ticket. I feel like the Cowboys are Mexico this year.
And I'm going to anger a lot of L3 fans. Delusions of grandeur.
Yeah.
At least the Cowboys have it based on something.
Okay.
Mexico has, I mean, a checkered past. Look, a great soccer culture, but they need to make a quarterfinal, semifinal before they can really start.
Is Chicharito Tony Romo before Romo retired? You know, kind of supposed to be the golden boy of the country to win, but never quite gets it done?
I don't know if that works. I think Chicharito's career has probably been more of a success than Tony Romo.
I would agree.
I don't want to crush him on that. I would say Rafa Marquez is like the Jason Witten, recently retired. Except that Rafa Marquez doesn't know when to retire and will not retire.
When we come back with J.J. Devaney, we will teach you how to bet on the World Cup. DA, CBS Sports Radio, plus we have got your Target Demo Friday.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
DA, what's up, brother? How you feeling? I love listening to your show, man. I listen to you every day. I can't wait for it, and I hate when it ends. Your gimmicks are the best gimmicks. Want to say I appreciate you guys, and have a good day.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our gimmicks are the best gimmicks. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Friday to you. Get your last-second Target Demo Fridays in here. Let me know what you're doing as you listen to the show. And what you're up to, where you're at, and what you got cooking for Father's Day weekend. And we will read them coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everybody, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. It is time for our Ask the Pros question of the day. My friend J.J. Devaney joins us here from the soccer podcast Caught Offsides. He joins us to break down the World Cup, and today's question comes to us from Tim in San Antonio, who asks, DA, now that the World Cup is here and the U.S. is not in it, tell me how I can actually find some interest in terms of maybe throwing some shekels on this tournament. I'm glad you asked. You can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. So JJ is a veteran from your days in Ireland, and obviously knowing how things work in the UK, there has oftentimes been betting windows right outside of soccer stadiums, sometimes maybe inside the soccer stadiums. But now, with your phone and technology, people just do it at the match as the thing is going on, right?
That's basically Ray Winston's head, if you're back in England, will appear magically, and it'll go, off-time betting, here are the odds, and it'll give you the odds for the second half. So you can bet on the halftime score, full-time score. My brother-in-law is a big man for the accumulator, so he'll say so many results down the league. So Arsenal to draw at United, Chesterfield to beat Wigan, you know, all sorts of things you can bet on. So it's a huge part of the culture.
So in the World Cup, you can bet on full-time winners or win, loss, draw. You can also bet halftime and what the score is going to be at halftime based on goals. Also, if you think about like a Super Bowl MVP or a prop bet,
right.
Golden Boot, which is going to be most goals scored in the tournament, right?
Yeah.
And so
I feel like that's a good one to go with.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm probably going to mush everybody and it's going to turn out terribly. But if you look at Antoine Griezmann in a fairly acceptable group for France, you could say he's going to take the penalties. He's also the focal point of the attack. Griezmann's not a bad bet for top goal scorer. But the odds mightn't be superb. I'll tell you what I heard the other day back in Ireland. I don't know what it is here, but you need to get on it today. Sergio Aguero, 25-1. Now, Argentina are still figuring out who's going to play alongside Messi, what kind of formation they're going to have up front. But if Sampaoli goes with Aguero, say he gets a good start, 2 goals, 3 goals maybe, a hat-trick maybe, I'm pushing it, against Iceland opening game.
Sets himself up for...
Well, look, 5-6 goals is going to do it. Traditionally. So, I mean, Sergio Aguero could be your moneymaker.
You have one or two blowouts, like Russia had 5-0 yesterday over Saudi Arabia, and that guy could be in that final tally. Well,
it's happened before, USA 94, and his name escapes me, obviously. But the Russian striker that ended up with a ton of goals because one of the games he ran up the score.
You like Brazil to do it this year?
I do like Brazil. I liked Spain hugely until...
They decided to fire their coach 2 days before the tournament.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Have we a U.S. example of that?
Great question. Who would have gotten fired? It would be like firing your NBA coach right before the playoffs begin.
Wouldn't make sense.
Gosh, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but that's what we're talking about. Right before the tournament begins, just days before. I mean, we just had the Toronto Raptors fire Dwayne Casey right after winning the coach of the year for the Toronto Raptors, but it was after they got bounced. It would be like firing him before the LeBron series, going, you never beat the Cavaliers, so we're going to can you right now.
I'm not saying that's the reason that Spain aren't going to do it, because I think they lack a bit of a cutting edge right up top, but they've got all the players. Now, they were my pick because they dismantled Argentina in a friendly, and I was taken by it. But I think Brazil under Chiche are the most Brazil I've seen, and I don't want to go against them, especially if Neymar's going to hit form, Gabriel Jesus as well. I just love this team. There's something about them, and they're so intrinsically linked with the World Cup. I'm putting my money on them if I have any money on them.
JJ Devaney co-hosts the Caught Offside podcast, and so that's available everywhere that podcasts are available, right?
Everywhere, and we're on Spotify, so you can link it to your Alexa and say, Alexa, play a Caught Offside, and you can be walking around your house with my voice, which is not creepy at all. We're on Stitcher. I also should mention, I mean, the man who makes the whole thing tick, Andrew Gundling, who is my co-host. I say co-host, he runs the show. He is the pilot. Otherwise, we would be in serious bother. He lands us on the Hudson safely, and he's a great guy, knows his onions, and it's anywhere you want it, iTunes, ESPN app, the whole thing.
And you guys will be doing podcasts throughout the World Cup, I imagine.
We are. The timing's going to be a little bit difficult, so we're going to allow a few games to accumulate, and then we're going to be back with you on Monday. But also, if you're not quite sure who you want to back in the World Cup, I would advise you go to our group previews, which you have.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like 40 to 50 minutes in each group. Yeah. So it's been really, really, I mean, thorough. It's great. You guys do an awesome job. Andrew's fantastic. So I highly encourage the Caught Offside podcast for all you soccer heads out there as we move our way through the World Cup. I've got a feeling we will do this again before the end of the World Cup.
I hope so. This has been so much fun.
Let's do it again, buddy.
All right, man. Nice one.
And great U.S. 94 World Cup sweatshirt.
Well, after what's happened this week, 8 years' time.
2026, baby.
Soccer ball in America.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I heard you say nobody says top of the morning in Ireland, huh?
No, nobody. I don't know where that came from. Tom Cruise in Far and Away has a lot to answer for.
Maybe it's the Lucky Charms leprechaun. I don't know.
Maybe. All those cultural things. There's Irishness, and then there's Irish-Americanness. And you guys, I don't know what you're doing.
Let's get to your Target Demo Friday.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Daryl writes on Facebook, radio.com app, Southeast Kansas, working in construction equipment all weekend. For comparison, Team USA are the equivalent of Mraz's small blocks. Had the capability to make it to the big game, but got cocky, ran their mouth, and lost to a team that had no business winning. Now eating copious amounts of buffalo chicken dip while watching the game, muttering about how they should be playing. Hashtag, get them out!
Get them out.
That's an amazing comparison, Mraz.
That's a throwback from a year ago.
Now, that's somebody locked in. Daryl is locked into the show, and he's citing small blocks.
For at least 13 months.
Ann writes, I'm drinking coffee, then preparing to meet with people so they can adopt our goddaughter next month, or so we can adopt our goddaughter next month, and wondering why Mraz is eating something heavy. LOL, should be a salad and a Gatorade.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
It's because our Target Demo Friday picture on Facebook is a picture of Mraz eating a sandwich during a flag football game. I received a message anonymously on Facebook this week from a, quote, concerned offensive lineman who said, you should ask Mraz on the air about this. It's a picture of Mraz eating a sandwich in full uniform during his flag football game. Mraz, on the spot, what happened there?
The ice cream man came away. It's an ice cream sandwich. And it was bought for me by another parent on the team and said, hey, we got an extra ice cream sandwich. And our team was on defense, and I plowed through it.
During the game?
I was yelled at by my quarterback and benched the following series.
Benched the following series for eating an ice cream sandwich during a football game while defense was on. Only Mraz. Chad tweets, I plan on grilling some steaks and chilling by the pool for Father's Day. Great week of shows. You guys have been killing it. Still trying to wrap my mind around Katie Linadal's man versus food bombshell. How awesome would she be in the chicken challenge? Hashtag, we need this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Luis in Palmdale tweeting in, since my youth, my Mexico team has been on the cusp of doing something big in the World Cup. It's about time something gets done. Si se puede, we are the Cubs of soccer.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Not a bad one. Estron tweets, I'm staying out of the Kansas City Heat. Appreciate you taking my phone call yesterday. Absolutely, my man.
Oh, okay.
Steve writes in on Twitter, listing on the app at home in Vegas. I'm light. It's easy on Father's Day. U.S. Open, IPAs, and prime rib. Absolutely.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Yeah, you like that big boy.
I am loving this idea. Matthew tweets in, I'm in Nampa, Idaho, and listening primarily in my work truck. Appreciate the show, boys. We appreciate you.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Oh, Chat. Yeah. Chat tweets in, this week's PGP was saved by the boys of Side B, Bogish and Mraz. Shep is a schmuck. Sorry, I've heard all of his stories before. From Pharrell making him change at work and spraying him with deodorant because of his stench to trash bag living on the break room couch. Wow, that's coming in hot and heavy. Some friendly fire on Shep, who is the subject of this week's Side A of the PGP.
Wow!
Feel bad for Shep there. He didn't deserve that. Didn't deserve that. I thought he gave a riveting interview to you.
He actually interviewed me, I think.
There was a lot of questions back and forth. He flipped the script. It was like Step Brothers.
It was pretty good. It was actually pretty good. Greg tweets in, DA, I drove home from Oak Grove while listening to you in 2011, staying up all night while doing live radio after the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, talking to fans about what they just watched. It was incredible. Can you believe it? 7 years ago tonight, 7 years ago, the Stanley Cup was won by the Boston Bruins. That was an amazing night. One of my favorite nights ever on radio. I went all night up until 6 a.m. when the morning show began, taking phone calls, jammed lines of people that had waited their entire lives for the Bruins to finally win the Stanley Cup again. That was one of the most special moments I've ever had. Weber King tweets, DA, I remember that night too. I was smoking a cigar on Canal Street outside the Fours when I saw you leave Hurricanes and go on your way back to the studio around 2 a.m.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
But I wasn't drinking that night. I did the post-game show after the Bruins won the Stanley Cup over the Vancouver Canucks. We did the post-game show. Then I had to leave our on-site. We were at the post-game show bar, doing it on remote, and then I had to leave to get back to the studio to do the rest of the show until 6 a.m. because the bar was going to shut down at 2. So we replayed the final 5 minutes of the third period and had an escort from the station van and a cop that got us through the crowd back to the studio, where I got back on the air between 2 a.m. and 2:20 a.m., then back on the air 2:20 a.m. until 6 a.m. doing all overnight coverage. That was one of the coolest nights ever. All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Scotty Farrell last night dropped a bombshell that his wife, who he affectionately has coined 34C, I believe, wants to get down with Team Uruguay.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Can we have the entire Scott Farrell soundbite again? I was dying laughing when I heard this. Listen to the insider's response.
So I wanted to tell you, you and I have talked several times about soccer, but I've never told you that last World Cup 4 years ago, my wife, 34C, she indicated to Carver High and I that she wanted to sleep with the entire Uruguayan World Cup team.
That's an interesting take from her.
So I know she's a big fan of the squad, and my guess is she'll be rooting for them in this year's tournament. And she thinks all their players are hot. Do they have a shot based on her, you know, urges and everything? What is happening to me?
I don't know what to do with this, Scott.
That's an interesting take from her.
Does anybody do it like Scotty Farrell?
I hate you.
Hey, does Uruguay have a chance because my wife wants to sleep with the team?
Do they have a shot based on her, you know, urges and everything?
What did you think when you went back and you cut this audio this morning, Mraz?
I mean, number one, I think the first thing would be I wasn't shocked knowing Scott as well as I did.
Now, doofus face, Carver High and I, that she wanted to sleep with the entire Uruguayan World Cup team. Uruguayan.
How did she break the news to her husband and Mike Carver?
Oh, how about I hit that Marlins Mafia? I gave that out free tonight.
Carver with a Guinness going, yeah, I enjoy soccer. She goes, you know what? I enjoy the Uruguayan team.
I want to bed all of them. Okay, Mrs. Farrell. Okay. Yeah, pass the shrimp cocktail, I guess. I don't know. What do I do with that? Oh, it's
Uruguayan World Cup team.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
James tweets, good morning, DA. Listening to the Mothership on 1290 AM here in cloudy Tucson. Going to be watching the World Cup this weekend. Let's go, England. Let's break the curse of 1968. Enjoy your time. I think it's 66. Enjoy your time with Papa Amendolara. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. That's a good way to sign off and remind everybody, Sunday is Father's Day, so make sure you take care of Pops if he's still around, hopefully. AJ tweets, I'm in Baltimore, radio.com. My softball team is looking to four-peat in the Memorial Fund tournament. While most of us were college athletes, old dudes are much better at slow-pitch softball. It took us 5 years to snag our first ship. Hashtag Target Demo Friday. Good stuff, everybody. Thanks so much for this week. A wonderful one here aboard the Mothership. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Brian McKeon on WatchDA.com with a simulcast, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good to one another. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We'll see you on Monday. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.